Truth Matters, an interactive program of practical Catholic evangelization.
What does the Bible have to say about that?
Where can I find that in the Catechism?
Truth Matters, with your host, Teresa Carpinelli, and Living Bread Radio staff apologists, Pat Blind and Mark Hughes.
What do the Church Fathers have to say?
How can I explain that to my friends?
Truth Matters. And now, here's Teresa Carpinelli.
Hi, welcome to Truth Matters, a show of Catholic evangelization and apologetics. This is show number 345. So if you check out our website at livingbreadradio.com and go to the Truth Matters tab, you'll see that we have all the shows archived in MP3 format. You can download any one of those shows and also access the Bible verses, catechism references, whatever other recommended reading that Mark and Pat have discussed during the course of that show. So this is show number 345. And we left off the last show. We were talking about how our separated brethren often say, well, Peter wasn't the rock that Christ built the church on. It was Peter's confession of faith. And, you know, naturally the Catholic says, well, sure, yeah, we agree with that because St. Augustine, you know, said that too. But
yes.
I think, Pat, you had some quotes from Protestant scholars that talked about this.
Yeah, because our separated brothers' bottom line is they think we'd make too big a deal out of this name, Peter's name being changed,
right,
period.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they say that Christ is the rock in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4.
Right.
And they go on to say, but you got to remember that throughout salvation history, we talked about this, that God has raised up father figures, or papas, which we call pope, which is another name for the pope. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, we see most of the times that he also, when he does change his name, what this signifies is his elevated status or a change in destiny or a change in function or something.
Right, exactly. New mission.
Yeah. So we see, as a matter of fact, we read Abraham. Let me read you a quote in Genesis chapter 17, verse 5. He says, "Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father, a popa, a pop, a papa, a father of the multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations." And likewise, in Genesis chapter 32, Jacob's name is changed to Israel, and Jedediah Solomon, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we find also in John chapter 1, verse 42, our Lord changes Simon's name to Cephas.
Okay.
And you spoke about that earlier. It's a transliteration of what Jesus would have called Peter, Kephas,
mm-hmm.
okay, which means rock, with no distinction between little or small rock. Okay,
there which is in the Greek there has to be that distinction because you wouldn't give a feminine form to a man.
Rock is
name,
rock. So Jesus would have said, "You are a Kephas, and upon this Kephas I build my church."
Exactly.
You are a rock, and upon this rock I build my church.
So the name change was significant. And one thing I wanted to add too is the fact that Christ is called the rock, you know, later in Scripture, doesn't take away from Peter being the rock. You know, it's because Christ is the rock that Peter is, and everything that we have and are given, it's precisely because Christ already has that. So we're priests, prophets, and kings because Christ is priest, prophet, and king.
Yes. Oh, exactly.
Sharing.
Yeah.
Cooperation.
We're like little Christs.
Yeah, exactly.
So if Christ is the big rock, that doesn't preclude Peter being a rock as well.
No, and not that they're equal, it's just co, as Mark
mm-hmm.
said. And, you know, we talked about another show how later on in 533, I think I said 523 last time, 533, and I also made a mistake in John the First. Excuse me, John the Second was John the First.
Oh, okay.
He had his name changed to John the First because his name was Mercurius.
Okay,
he was named after Mercury, the god of Mercury,
mm-hmm.
okay, a Roman god.
Right.
And so at that time it was real appropriate that he changed his name. And ever since then there's been this tradition of name change. But I think as Catholics, what we have to do is we have to admit that the Greek text does use different words.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we won't deny that, Petros and Petra, in St. Matthew's Gospel. But we have to understand that when Christ spoke to St. Peter in Matthew chapter 16 through 18, he spoke Aramaic and not Greek.
Exactly.
And
so he would not have said Petra.
Petra.
Petros.
Petro. Petros.
He would have said.
And it's important, too, because, yeah, it's important, too, and I made another mistake by saying sometimes we get in a hurry at the end of the show, and I mentioned that St.
Thomas
had a copy of the Aramaic copy,
mm-hmm.
but that was St. Jerome had a copy.
Right. Because St. Jerome did have quite a few of the original texts when he did his translations.
Yeah, and he mentioned that he used this Aramaic copy to correct the Greek. He wasn't even too sure where the Greek copy came from, mm-hmm. but he knew that it was originally written in Aramaic, and he used that Aramaic copy to correct some of the Greek grammar
Fathers like
Papias, Eusebius, mm-hmm. also speak of the original Matthew being written in
writing
Aramaic.
His gospel in the language
some
of the
in Hebrew,
Hebrews,
too,
right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But we were talking about the confession of faith, how I think it was Augustine said that it was, and you said you had some quotes or something?
Well, not so much on that. I wish I would have brought Augustine's quote, but Augustine did say that it was his confession of faith.
Did you have a quote on that, Mark? Sorry.
I don't think it was on his faith. Do you have one on his faith, on the confession of faith?
A Lutheran scholar, Gerhard Meyer, recently actually quoted he's a Lutheran scholar, and the papacy is one of the main issues that divided Luther and the Catholic Church back in the 1500s. But he, regarding the terminology in Matthew 16 and the clear evidence that it is Peter that Christ is building his church on upon this rock, Gerhard Meyer goes on to say that the church was founded on Peter and not on a Peter-like faith. The argument should focus on whether this allows for succession or not, because that'll be the key. Even Luther said that, that the Christ founded his church on Peter and gave him the keys of the kingdom and all that. But it was the question of succession that could spell doom, in a sense, for the Protestant or evangelical system of belief.
Did Luther deny apostolic succession? I'm not real sure about. I mean, I don't know.
Well, R.T. France also said that was the problem.
Right.
He didn't deny that Peter was the prince of the apostle.
Right.
That Peter's name was, he was the rock. He just denied the apostolic succession.
I've noticed that with a lot of Protestant scholars who do accept the fact that Christ built his church on the rock, which was Peter, but then they turn around and deny apostolic succession. So that's how they get around it.
A famous anti-Catholic, his name is James White. Many of us mm-hmm. know who he is. His sister a few years back converted
became
to
Catholic,
the Catholic
right.
faith.
Yeah. Much to his dismay.
Amazing, yeah. And, in James White's book, The Roman Catholic Controversy, goes on to say that, the Catholics have to make this attempt at to establish a succession, and he's talking about Isaiah 22 in a sense. Mm-hmm. But the Catholics have to make this attempt at succession and to logically establish it. But that's the whole Catholic point to begin with, and that's Christ's point. So it's not that we are doing it, but it's in a sense been done for us, and we're just repeating what Christ has already shown us.
The bottom line is it's an office. We see this in Acts when Matthias was replaced Judas. Isaiah 22. You're right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Because Isaiah 22 also, you see that this is
a fulfillment of an office,
succession of an office.
I've never understood is if they deny apostolic succession, what do they think Jesus was up to? I mean, did he just plan on the apostles doing a few things, writing the Bible and then dying, and that's what we have is the
exactly.
Bible?
Yeah,
apparently, that's...
Right. But, Acts chapter 15, verse 16 kind of disproves that in a sense. And also what Pat mentioned about the Matthias being elected successor of Judas. But in the Council of Jerusalem, Acts chapter 15, verse 16, we read that James said that the fallen tent or hut of David has been rebuilt. And what he's quoting there is Amos chapter 9. And you'll see in the Old Testament that the kingdom of David was referred to as a tent or a hut.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another word for kingdom in a sense. And so that is a very a clincher verse in my mind, because the New Testament says that this fallen tent of David has been rebuilt. Just as I had mentioned in a previous show, the last question the apostles asked Jesus was, will you now establish the kingdom? And so now it's being established through the church and their first council in Jerusalem regarding circumcision and baptism. So,
excellent. Okay, Pat, you said something you had on, was it Bultmann? You had a quote from Rudolf Bultmann.
Going back to we're talking about a lot of Protestant scholars agree that Jesus spoke Aramaic.
Okay, so we're back
to... So, in other words, the keys, excuse me, not the keys, the Euarchephos and Apronis Kephos, and Mark quoted one of the quotes I was going to quote, but also a Baptist biblical professor, and you were thinking about earlier, we talked about before the show, D.A. Carson. He points out that he quotes, the underlying Aramaic is in this case unquestionable, and most probably kepha was used in both clauses. You are kepha and on this kepha. Since the word was used both for a name and for a rock, the Greek makes the distinction between Petros and Petra simply because it is trying to preserve the pun. In the Greek, the feminine Petra could not very well serve as a masculine name. If Christ had intended to characterize St. Peter as a little stone, as distinct from a massive rock, he could have chosen other more suitable words to signify such a contrast,
such as Evna
in their Aramaic, meaning little stone. Likewise, had St. Matthew really wanted to record in his gospel that St. Peter was only a little stone, the more preferable common word to use would be lithos, as you stated, Teresa, which means stone or virtually any size, unquote. But that shows us that most Protestant scholars today and most of the reformers all agreed that Peter was the rock that Jesus was referring to.
That whole argument seems to be moot these days.
I know very few Protestants that even use that argument, but you still will hear it.
You'll still hear it, right? Sometimes fundamentalists
And one of the other arguments is, admittedly, they'll go, St. Peter is given the keys of the kingdom of heaven, but Christ didn't give, he also gave that power to bind the loose to the other apostles as well in Matthew chapter 18.
Right. Yeah. I thought it was interesting what he said in that quote you just gave, that this was preserving the pun. And this was why this was used. And it's important in Scripture. You see a lot of puns going on. I think there was, I forget which verse it is, but where Jesus said that God can take these rocks and make sons from these rocks. I understand that the word for son and the word for rock are very, very close. So Jesus was basically punning by using, pretty much the same Aramaic word for rock and sons.
One other point, too. The there was no gender distinction in the Greek at that time. Mm-hmm. There was 600 years prior to that in Greek poetry, mm-hmm. but at the time of Christ,
in the Koine Greek,
there was no gender distinction mm-hmm. between. It's very important because a lot of Catholics, when they hear this argument, they're thinking, I don't know Greek. How am I going to answer this? And they're taken off guard. So it's very important to understand.
It sounds like a scholarly argument because you're talking about the Greek language.
Yeah, and it kind of throws people off guard. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to say.
Exactly. So. Well, thank you both so much. That was very, very interesting. I think we still have about 10 seconds left. No, we don't. Okay, so this is Teresa Carpinelli reminding you that when they say it doesn't matter, it does, because truth matters. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you. And this is show number 345.
This has been Truth Matters. For an audio archive of this program, as well as notes and references in document format, log on to livingbreadradio.com. Click on Truth Matters and find the link to the show number that was referenced during the show. If you have a question you'd like answered on the show, email us at truthmatters@livingbreadradio.com. Truth Matters is a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. Join us each weekday for more Truth Matters.